We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ray Danger, Glenn Mack. Now we're going until 1 o'clock. Who's on after us today?
Rob Ellis.
I think it's Rob Ellis, yeah.
Yeah, there you
he
go.
He normally is the guy that follows us on Sundays when we're here on Sundays.
Rob will have many salient points on last night's game.
By the way, there is a news development in the NFL. First coach firing. Vic Fangio is out in Denver.
Yeah.
Others to follow.
Joe Judge?
I don't know. I think that's an interesting one. John Mara has said repeatedly, both on and off the record, that he wants to bring Joe Judge back.
Great.
But I wonder if he didn't fire himself last week. I mean, did you see that monologue after the Bears game?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was classic. You know what it was? And I don't know how many people remember this. You remember Lee Elia when he managed the Cubs?
Yeah.
Had one of those meltdowns about the people at Wrigley?
Yes.
This was evocative of that one.
Yeah, it was, kind of. I'm watching that and I'm thinking, this guy's firing himself. I mean, right now. He's firing himself. And I mean, the thing he says in there is, you know, I have guys that are calling me up and they're talking about they want to come play for me. And I said, well, you can play. And I'm thinking, tampering, Joe? I mean, this is like against the... I mean, he's standing up in front of a press conference. He's telling stories like this. Yeah. I mean, if you're John Maron, you're standing in the back of the room, you're saying, oh, my God. Yeah. I wanted to bring this guy back, but I don't know if I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I don't know. You know, I think Mike Zimmer's in a lot of trouble. I think Matt Nagy's in a lot of trouble. Vic Fangio, we kind of knew it was going to happen. One of the things that's going on in Denver is they're trying to sell the team. The Bolin family is Pat Bolin has passed away, and family wants to sell the team. The team's on the block. So I guess they felt like, they wanted to make the change. Maybe they thought the sale was more attractive. I don't know.
The sale's more attractive if you're out.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it is. What's tomorrow is what, Black Monday, they call it?
Yeah.
It's one of the coaches to play. Yeah, and Denver played yesterday, so finished the season, so they could do that after that. Mike in Maple Shade is with us, wants to express his unhappiness with the Eagles' strategy last night.
I want to couch it with kind of talking about Seth Joyner and what I was, as I surf around and watch all the pregame shows, they're really just hard to watch. So painful with fluff and Hollywood theater. So, like, the Eagles pregame show, I think, has just got a blunt, candid, honest approach to any either on the field or off the field issue. And, Ray, your comments are irreplaceable. But Seth, last night, he was... I found his comments fascinating, from why he felt Philly was right for him when he landed here, and absolutely hammering Gardner Minshew, and and his comments about the metric that can't gauge what's in your heart, your mind, and your thriving to be the best you can be.
Yep.
Does he have Ray? Do you know? Does he? What's in the future for him? Because I would love to see him interview like an Antonio Brown, something that is just so, he's just so bluntly honest with his questions and answered. When he said last night he was going to be asleep at halftime, what TV analyst, pregame show guy would say, I'll be asleep at halftime. And you know what? He was being honest.
Yeah, so straight up honest. You're exactly right, Mike. That's Seth. That's the way he was. That's the way he was as a player. I covered him. I was a reporter then, and he was in the locker room. He was a player, and he was a guy that after a game – you always went to because you knew you were going to get an honest answer. He's blunt. He's totally apolitical. I mean, he doesn't care who's going to react how to anything that he says. He's going to tell you, ask him a question, he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks. That's why he's great at it. But I'll tell you this, as much as I love working with him, and I do, I think that, I've said this to him many times, you should be coaching. A guy with that kind of football IQ and that kind of passion, he should be coaching somebody. And I would love to have seen it been here. I've said this before. I've said it on the air, so I'm not saying anything out of school. I sent an email to Howie Roseman after last season when they were cleaning out the coaching staff and they were hiring a bunch of new guys. I said, hey, do yourself a favor. Talk to Seth Joyner. I'm not saying you got to hire him, but you absolutely should talk to him. Because I think that I think he would be a terrific coach. He's getting to that point now in age-wise that if it doesn't happen soon, it probably ain't going to happen.
Yeah,
but I'd like to see him get the opportunity.
I, from what I've heard from Seth, isn't it true that he kind of, you know, he wants to wait for his kids to be up and out?
He's beyond that now.
He used to say that, right?
Yes, he used to say that because we had this conversation starting back years ago when I said, "Man, you should be coaching," and he said, "No, it's a tough life for the family. You know, it's tough for the kids." But last year, when I broached the subject again, he said, you know, I'm at that point now where I think, you know, I think I could. If the right offer came along, I would do it. So that's why when I took it upon myself to send the email to Howie and say, bring this guy in and talk to him. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine that you could sit with him and talk football for an hour and not say, boy, I want this guy on my staff. Remember the night that we did the thing?
I was about to
I'll let you tell the story.
Okay. I did a charity event. I put together a charity event for the National Liberty Museum, and it was a panel of three. It was Ray, it was Seth Joyner, and it was Dick Vermeil. And for an hour and a half, we just teed up questions. I basically served it up, and those three guys, the expertise among the three of you was great. And all three of you, you and Seth and Dick Vermeil. And I believe you told me at the end, I think it was Seth or else it was Coach Vermeil who said.
I was walking out with Dick.
Okay, Coach Vermeil. So you finished the story.
Dick and I are walking out of the building together. And Dick said, if I was still running a football team, I would hire that guy in 10 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah. Was exactly what he said.
Yep. And it was such a fun night, and it was and you guys were great. The three of you were great, and I think the audience really loved it. By the way, just before I get to the next call, that just gives me a segue, because I got a charity event coming up, and Ray, you're going to be part of it, and I really do appreciate that. I'll be putting out more publicity as it gets closer. But January 27th, which is a Thursday night at the Puddler's Kitchen and Tap, one of my Conshohocken Brewing Company places on DeKalb Street in Bridgeport, right across the bridge from Norristown, we're hosting a night. There's a friend of mine, a guy I've known for decades. His name is Ben Yellen, and he was riding his bike, and he got in an accident. They're not really sure what happened because they found him down and injured and by the road, and he's paralyzed, for life. And they need to get him home and basically retool his home to serve his needs, all of his needs, and his wife and his family, and that's an expensive proposition. So people who are friends of his are putting together many events, but one of them is this fundraiser we're going to do. It's going to be January 27th, excuse me, Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m., Puddler's Tap and Kitchen in Bridgeport. There's going to be a free buffet. I'm giving away copies of the book I wrote with Big Daddy Graham, and Ray is going to be there signing his latest book. Actually, going to have any of the encyclopedia as well?
I'll see if I can get some.
Okay. Signing those books with a portion going to the charity. And, Ray, I appreciate your time and your generosity. And we may have another high-powered author there that night. I'm working on it. A guy who's got a new book coming out, which is going to be a bestseller, might be able to join us that night. And food and beer and fun and a good cause. So, all right, let's get Michael in Lower Gwynedd, who, he's got some thoughts on the Flyers.
All right. Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
Hi, Mike. Hey, Michael.
Hey, so here's what I see going on with the Flyers. There's definitely a older fan base kind of butting heads with a newer fan base that I don't think the newer fan base really understands the structure of the organization and the history. But what I'm not sure is understood is just, you know, the Flyers to me, I'm in kind of media, so I've worked for some of the TV networks in the city. The Flyers are run by a sales team now. They're so much more concerned with making money than actually trying to win a Stanley Cup. So So when I talk to a younger fan who tries to tell me the moves they should make or what they should do, I keep on saying, you don't understand. They don't care about winning the cup. All they care about are selling the gritty shirts, putting on the show in the beginning of the game that I pay tickets for, and I'm getting to the point where I don't want to pay for it anymore. Because even though I love my 4-year-old son and I love that he loves to watch the games with me, it's frustrating. And I would echo, I don't know if you guys already said this, but what Ed Snyder's daughter said the other day, and I'm going to kind of paraphrase this. The fans are not bitter about ignoring the Flyers fans or not them not moving forward. The Flyers, old school Flyers fans, are generally worried about this team and its future. And I think the next step is what's going to happen on the trade deadline and with Giroux.
It'll be interesting. He's got a no trade, but if you're him, Ray, do you see a reason to stay here?
No,
none. Other than you've invested all those years?
No. Thanks, Mike. No. I don't see it. I don't see it. I mean, whatever time he's got left, this team is not even within shouting distance of being a contender. So I don't want to put myself in his shoes, but I mean, my thought would be if I were him, why don't I go somewhere where I have a chance to go to a team that has a chance to win something? Because you've done everything you can do here in terms of setting records and all that kind of stuff, the longevity. His career here is what it is. It's not going to get any better. So why don't you be a contributor on a team that actually has a chance to win a cup? That would be my thought process if I were him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he's got family stuff and his wife, and he's had a baby, I think, during the pandemic. But I think
the caller really put his finger on it when he said that it is now a totally corporate operation who's more concerned with selling gritty than winning hockey games.
People ask me, why do you and Ray despise gritty so much? And that's kind of why.
Yeah, because what he is represents everything that's wrong with the team.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mike in Exton is on 94 WIP. Hey, Mike.
I want to start by apologizing to Ray. Ray, your W-2 is going to be a little short this year because since I got your book signed in Bridgeport in April, it's been passed off to 5 different people, including a Rangers fan who hates the Flyers chapter.
That's okay. I can live with that, Mike.
I know you're that kind of guy. But anyway, here's the question. And I am not Debbie Downer like the last guy about the Eagles. But I look at professional sports now and the playoffs sort of like everybody gets a trophy. And the last time I love the Eagles. The last 3 times, we haven't exactly steamrolled in, and I understand that. So what happens for me in the playoffs is I start paying attention. And that's we judge so many players, and they should be, by the playoffs. And that's all I got. And I have one other comment, but go ahead.
No, I mean, there's different expectations for different teams, right? And when you're a team that's been a contender for several years, you want that team to win the championship, whether it's the Super Bowl, the NBA title, whatever. When it's a team that was 4-11-1 last year, you want to see development, progression, and that they made the playoffs this year to me was a really pleasant surprise. I don't think it's a fluke, but I also doesn't think it means they're a serious contender. What you want is next year they build on this, they have a good offseason, they come back, and instead of, what are they now, 9-8 is what they're
right.
going to finish? Next year they're 11-7 or whatever that math is, and next year they win a playoff game. I understand that they're not a Super Bowl contender, but I want to see development and felt I got that this year.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is both things can be true. Both things can be true, and they are. I mean, who at the start of this season, who was there anybody that said, oh, this team's going to the playoffs? No, nobody. I mean, I sure didn't, and I can't think of anybody who I heard say that. So
well, there were a few on WIP. I'll give them credit. I mean, Elliot Jor Parks said at the start of the year, so you know, give him credit.
Well, okay, he's the only one that I can think of that actually said that said the P word, that said playoffs. But okay, that's the way the year turned out. And you can say what you want to say about the schedule. The second half of the year wasn't good. They played a lot of lousy quarterbacks, and okay, that's how it turned out. But you know, I'm fine. I'll take it. You know, I'm not going into this with the thought that they're going to get on a big run and go to the Super Bowl. I don't think that's within the realm of possibility. But I would rather have the opportunity to go there and play than what my expectations were at the beginning of the year, which is, you know, maybe they'll win 8 games and show some progress. The fact of the matter is they won more than 8 games. They showed progress and they got the playoffs. So if it's there, I'll take it.
Finally, Ray, who dresses Seth Joyner? He is so well dressed.
Oh, Seth is gray, and the powder blue last week was spectacular.
Yeah, he's got great clothes.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, and he has a personal tailor who makes all of his clothes are custom made.
Like you and I.
No, I'm telling you, when you sit next to him, you better raise your game a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I start. You feel any pressure? You basically have your uniform, right?
Yeah.
Which is button down shirt, either light blue or white, which is a dark colored suit or sport jacket, at least, either navy or gray.
Right.
And like a rep tie. And that's you. And
that's
it. It's been the same as long as I've ever known you.
Well, the one accommodation I've made is I started wearing a tie again, and you're not supposed to.
They got the ridiculous rule.
Put the rule in a couple years ago, no ties.
Yeah, right.
And we rebelled at Super Bowl. We said, hey, no, Super Bowl, guess what? We're wearing ties, okay? I don't care if you don't like it. We're wearing ties. So we wore ties at Super Bowl. But then the next season we came back and we went to the no tie look, which I never liked. I mean, if I'm on television, if I'm not wearing a tie, I feel underdressed. And I absolutely felt that way sitting next to Seth.
Yeah.
So at midseason, I said, you know what? I know I'm not going to like it, but heck with it. I'm going to start wearing a tie. So I went back to wearing a tie. But it's because when you're next to Seth, I mean, he has tremendous clothes.
The boutonnieres are phenomenal.
He has tremendous clothes.
The
he really
coordination
does.
Is great. So let me say this, Ray. As your friend and as your personal agent, you don't need to follow rules anymore.
Oh, no?
No. You're Ray Didinger. You can do whatever you want. Mm. If there's blowback, you're Ray Didinger. I'm telling you. For them to have you still doing these games, that's a blessing for them. That's a bonus for them. You're a guy who people respect, and if you want to do it your way, whatever, bleep whatever guidelines and rules they think they want to put on you.
Yeah, well,
that's my advice for you in all walks of life.
I
know you would never big time anybody. That would never be your style. You don't have to say it out loud ever to anybody. But if they say, like, well, the rule is we're trying to be young and hip and we don't wear ties, you're Ray Didinger. You dress however you want. And if you're comfortable in a tie, you're Ray Didinger.
Yeah. Well, the truth of the matter is I am neither young nor hip. So I don't have to subscribe to any of that. But
I'm neither young and I have a broken hip. So how about that?
But the other truth of it is 12 years of Catholic school never leaves you. And you have somebody telling you, yes, you don't wear it, Raymond. You are not going to wear a tie. And you say, I guess I can't do that. You know, everybody I ever worked for automatically became Sister Irenaeus. Right. And whatever they said went. But I finally drew the point this year that no. If I'm on TV, I want to wear a tie.
Sister Irritating. What was her name?
Sister Irenaeus.
I don't know where that name comes from, but there you go. Is probably long gone from this earth. God bless her.
Mm-hmm.
Her influence should equally be gone. You're a good guy. You're not a wave maker. You're not somebody. You're not going to do jumping jacks in the end zone.
God, I'm the opposite
off your
of a
shirt
wave maker
and quit in the middle of the game. Right.
Right. Oh no.
Okay.
No, I'm not doing Antonio Brown. No.
Right. But you're Ray Didinger. Do whatever you want. This is my advice to you. All right.
Good, I like that.
All right.
I wish you could have told me that a couple years ago.
I've told you that many times. Now you should take it to heart.
Okay.
All right. And you know who else I know tells you something similar?
What's that?
Your wife.
Yes, she does.
Right. She and I are sometimes on the same side of this issue.
Oh, almost always, as a matter of fact.
I know. She and I have had conversations about this. All right. I love you, Ray. 215-592-9494. Tony and Joe and Rick, we'll get you guys coming up. Also, Ray, how about we do a little whip around the NFL in the next segment? There are games today. It's kind of cool. Even though the Eagles lost, today you can just like put your feet up on the Barco Lounger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Grab a sandwich and a beer, or in your case, a nice diet soda,
mm-hmm,
and just watch games with like no consequences for your squad.
I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go over some of those games and we'll take your calls coming up. Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof?
Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, Ray, we'll get back to the callers in a moment, but today is a full day of NFL football. Really, the big games that we care about mostly are going to be played at 4:25 this afternoon, and that will determine who the Eagles are going to play. So, Ray, without further ado, let's tee up some NFL football.
Okay.
Do you know I was listening to this music this morning as I was laying out the show?
Mm-hmm.
Because I wanted to find the appropriate music. Kyle, knock it up just one notch. There you go. I wanted to find the appropriate music to do this segment to, and I was enjoying it so much I just ended up doing all my research to it. It's great. Sam Spence, right? Was the guy with NFL
Sam
films?
Spence, yep. Yeah, NFL
just,
Films.
Just terrific. All right.
Autumn, you know, it's available. It's actually available on a CD, which you can get, and it's called Autumn Thunder. Isn't that great?
That's great. All right. Big game today. The Niners go into Los Angeles to play the Rams, and again, this is going to... Well, it's going to determine playoff spot for the Niners. Well, let's break down that game. What do you see there?
Mike Garrett, when you have Mike Garrett follow on, he said he likes the Rams in this game. The Rams are at home, but it's very interesting. The 49ers have the Rams number.
Yeah.
For some reason, the 49ers have beaten them 5 in a row, which is, that's a pretty strong trend.
Yep.
And, I look at the 49ers and... They're a really good team. I mean, they're good on both sides of the ball. They've got a good defense. They got a good offense. They got good balance. The only thing is, I just don't like their quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what they drafted Trey Lance to be. I mean, they drafted him. I think they feel like they've gone probably as far as they can with Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, they're looking for the quarterback that can take them up and get them over the hump. And they think that Lance can be that guy. But he's not that guy right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, at the line of scrimmage, both lines, I mean, they're a good team. But the Rams are a team that have... They have loaded up for this year. They're making their run now. I mean, that's why they make a trade for Yvonne Miller. You know, that's why they made the trade for Matthew Stafford. That's why they picked up Odell Beckham Jr. when no one else wanted him. They're loading up because they kind of see that the door's open for a team to get hot and maybe make a run at winning the championship. Got to the Super Bowl a couple years ago, came up short because they didn't think their quarterback was up to the task. They've circled this year as the year that they're going to make their run, and they're making it right now. They're in the postseason. The only thing that's hurting them is Matt Stafford, over the last month, has really played poorly. I mean, he has turned the ball over in some bizarre ways, both throwing interceptions and taking bad sacks and fumbling the ball. If they're in the playoffs now, but if they're going to go anywhere, they have to clean up the play at the quarterback position. And so this is a big game, really. 49ers, it's a big game, but the Rams have to get their act together to go into the postseason.
Right, so another game with big impact. Seattle at Arizona. It's been a very good year for Arizona. Up and then down, and then big win last week against the Cowboys. Seattle, not so much. Easy win for Arizona?
I don't know. They were, first half of the season, they were a red-hot team. And everybody was kind of jumping on the Arizona bandwagon that this was going to be their year. But, the coach, Cliff Kingsbury, has a very... And it's repeated every year. And this goes back to his days coaching in college. His teams would always play good in September and October, and then they would just start trailing off and play their worst football at the end of the year. That was true when he was coaching in college, and it's been true so far with the Cardinals, and it's playing out again this year.
Ooh, you picking the upset, right?
No. I don't think Seattle is good enough to pull it off right now. But that's why this is a big game for Arizona. They have to reverse that trend. They're in the playoffs, but they have to reverse that trend. Now, they started last week when they beat the Cowboys. That helped. But the one thing they have to do, they have to do several things, but one of the things they have to do right now is they have to figure out how to win at home.
I mean,
this is a team that's gone into the playoffs, and they have a losing record in their own home stadium.
Yeah. Well,
so they play at home today.
They're back on the
road. Yeah, and if they win today, if they beat Seattle, okay, they get to 500 at home. But if you're going to win in the postseason, you got to be better than that.
All right, so who's your winner there?
Oh, so I'm taking Arizona.
Okay. Then the third game that we care about, Carolina at Tampa Bay. Similarly, one team is among the best in the league. The other has had a disappointing season. Easy win for Tampa Bay. Any way to look at it differently?
No, and it's I think Tampa Bay wins easily, and I don't necessarily think that this means this is get well. Tampa Bay's all of a sudden going to get well because they've got a lot of injuries. They've got some issues. They've had some turmoil within. You know, this year has not been the smooth ride that everybody thought it was going to be. They're defending champs. A lot was made of the fact that they were bringing back all 22 starters. You know, most Super Bowl teams, you know, there's a big turnover and they have to replace guys. So one of the things Tampa Bay did, and Tom Brady kind of did this, he kind of said, hey, guys, let's keep the band together and let's win it again next year. And they did. So they brought everybody back, guys that could have left as free agents re-signed. So they came back with the full championship team, and it's been kind of up and down. It's been a choppier ride than I think a lot of people expected, including me. And now it's been compounded over the second half of the year with a lot of injuries. But I expect them to win easily today, largely because I don't think Carolina doesn't show me that they're going to be all that competitive right now. There's a lot of question. Maybe Matt Rhule might be out at the end of this year.
Right.
And they have their quarterback plays been atrocious, and Christian McCaffrey, I don't know if he's ever going to play again. Carolina to me isn't a team that's going to put up a whole lot of opposition.
All right. So if those three games play out the way you just said, the Eagles will open next week. We'll play next week as the 7th seed at Tampa Bay.
Right.
And there you go. And I can't tell you I see anything differently.
No, question. And there are a lot of people, and including Seth Joyner last night when we were looking down the road at that next game. Amy Fadul went around the table and said, okay, who do you think is the best matchup for the Eagles without mm-hmm. knowing who it was going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And Seth said, give Tampa, which surprised me, you know, because, you know, this is a team that hasn't beaten a good quarterback all year.
Yeah.
And now you're going to go into the playoffs and you're going to play Tom Brady?
Yeah, I don't agree with Seth.
I don't agree with him there.
Injuries?
I don't.
You
know, I would say give me Arizona. But
yeah, and Tampa is a. I'm sorry.
But I knew Arizona was a real long shot. A lot of things had to happen to get him Arizona. But I don't want. I definitely don't want to be playing Tom Brady in the playoffs.
What has to happen for them to play Arizona is Arizona has to win today. San Francisco has to beat the Rams, and the upset has to be Carolina beats Tampa Bay. That would be the scenario under which they play Arizona.
Yeah, that's highly unlikely.
Yeah. So it probably looks like Tampa Bay. Somebody sent me a note and said, when are we going to know this? Are we going to know it before the night game is out? The one game, and I guess let's just preview this, because it's the last game of the season, and it's a good one. The playoff spot on the line for the winner tonight on Sunday Night Football, Chargers at the Raiders. By the way, if the Jaguars somehow beat the Colts today, both teams get in with a tie, which would be the ultimate crazy thing to happen.
Yeah, but it would.
Let's pick Chargers against the Raiders. What do you see there?
The Raiders season to me has been just amazing that they have done what they've been able to do. You had the whole John Gruden thing blow up. You lose your head coach with that whole scandal that rocked the organization. You have Henry Ruggs involved in the traffic accident that takes a woman's life. You have to cut him. A guy was your first round draft pick. You promote a guy to be head coach who's never been a head coach before. There's so many crazy things that happened with the Raiders, and they actually went through a stretch where they played really poorly. But now they've rallied at the end of the year. And the one thing about the Raiders is they have been really good in close games. They're 6-2 in one score games, and they're 3-0 in overtime. And this, to me, looks like it's going to be...
Yeah, they won four games on a last possession or
something
crazy stuff.
Yeah, like that. I mean, they've won, it's exactly right. On the last one, in some cases, the last play. So, you know, it looks to me like, on paper, I'd say the Chargers are probably the better team. And Herbert has had a really good year, and he's a really good quarterback. Carr's right there with him, if you look statistically. And if this is going to be a close game, and I think it's going to be a close game, I don't see any way it's not a close game, I like the Raiders in a close game. So, the Raiders haven't been a playoff team for a long time. I mean, they've only been to the playoffs once, I think, since 2002. They haven't been exactly a fixture in the postseason. But I think they're going to win this game, and I think they're going to go to the postseason. So it's a real credit to, you know, poor Mike Mayock, our good friend, who's out there as a general manager, who's been trying to steer this ship through the perfect storm all year.
Yeah.
He may very well get them to the postseason, and that would be quite an accomplishment.
Yeah, that would be something to see. All right, so the question is, you know, who the Eagles play, and then the question is, when are they going to announce it? And my hunch is they're going to announce it right at the end of the Raiders-Chargers.
Right.
They're not going to announce who plays when. And we both believe the Eagles are likely to play next Saturday night, right?
Kind of feel that, yeah.
So, all right. Well, there you go. There's your NFL preview. Good stuff. Tony in the Northeast is with us. Hey, Tony.
Hello. Hello. Thank you. I just want to tell you how absolutely furious I am about the Flyers' whole situation. It's the top. They have to have hockey people at the top, and they do not have hockey people at the top. They need to get better, and they need the people in place, and they don't have it. They don't care. You need to get people who care. And I am so mad, I just don't know what to say. And you could see it by what has been happening at WIP. There's no buzz. You two guys are the only ones in the entire station that talk about the Flyers at all.
Yeah.
You have Jonesy and Morgani on the morning show. There's not a peep.
Yeah, but Tony, let me say this.
You don't even hear the score. You don't even hear the score of the Flyers from the night before. You don't even hear it.
And that's they become irrelevant. Yeah. But Tony, you got gritty.
Oh, my God, don't get me. Listen, I'm going to start cursing, and you're going to cut me off.
Nah, you're good. I've got to cut you off anyway, but you're good.
Well, you know what's interesting, Glenn?
That the people are no longer satisfied with this gritty?
Oh, no. Unfortunately, too many people are.
Oh, but, absolutely.
But the thing that I find, I don't know if encouraging is the right word, but the fact that there are some people out there that are still still like the Flyers enough or care enough to get angry right now.
Yeah.
Because I kind of thought that had gone away and everybody had just kind of said, well, they are what they are and they're not worth my time. And they had just, become indifferent. I'm sort of heartened by the fact that we've heard over the last hour some people calling up and saying, yeah, Howard Beal, I'm mad as hell and I don't want to take it anymore.
Yeah,
or hearing some of that. I didn't know that it was still out there.
Yeah, well, hopefully it's not the last vestiges of a fan base they're chasing away. Jack in Santa Barbara, the dude. Jack, by the way, before we talk, I did get your note, your email. I didn't respond to it, but I very much appreciated, what you had to say about that, the tragedy, the fire this last
week. Yeah, and I looked up the Inquirer report on it and satisfied myself that at least if they needed to go back and look at the history, it was still there.
Okay.
So thanks, Glenn.
Always appreciate hearing from you. Let's talk about the game last night. Something you liked?
Yeah, I liked watching Huntley do that jump cut that he was doing. So I wanted to talk about that guy because when him and Gainwell and granted that game was a distortion. Okay, we don't get a real good read on what kind of football they're really capable of playing. But there was a shade of Shady in his, running through the trash that I don't see in Sanders for his proclivity to go in there among the big guys.
You've been a fan of this guy and wanted to see him get his chance, and he did.
I have. I thought that he was. It's funny. He was a fifth round pick, same as Gainwell was. And I think it was largely because he came out of a small school. He came out of New Mexico State, in a conference where they don't play a whole lot of defense, and sometimes guys put up huge numbers. But he definitely has some talent. He definitely has vision. He's explosive, small, but if you use him right, he's one of those guys that if you use him right can be a playmaker. And we saw that in the preseason. He was drafted originally by the Lions. And anybody that gets cut by the Lions immediately, your first reaction is, well, how good could he be if the Lions cut him? But part of the reason the Lions are the Lions is they make those mistakes. They get rid of some decent players. And I was glad that the Eagles brought him in and gave him a chance. And, I'll tell you what. I mean, I would much rather have him back returning kicks than I would Jalen Reagor.
Absolutely. I mean, he was not afraid to stick his head up in there. Yeah. In both the backfield and on the receiving end of the kicks, too. Mm-hmm. The other thing I wanted to say is hearing the NFL symphony behind your whip around.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see Ray in Andy Reid's Hawaiian shirt anytime soon.
Jack, you're the best.
I think you're sticking to the tie.
Yeah, you're the best. Ray, be Ray. That's it. Be Ray.
That's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, some. And I'm not ripping people you work for, but some corporate image guy, right? Wet behind the ears is the, because this is what they did at ESPN too. Remember when it's like Al Morgani had to go in a leather jacket?
Right.
Yeah. This is like, hey, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make our guys on the thing. We're going to make them cool. We're going to make them relevant to a young audience. We're going to make them so that our Gen Xers can identify. Our Gen Zers will see themselves in our hosts. Ray, here's what we want you to do. Don't listen to that. Mm. You're Ray, for God's sakes.
Well,
whoever is making that call, Ray, knows one-tenth of what you know about anything.
Well, for what it's worth, I feel better in the tie, and for as long as the Eagles stay alive in the postseason, I will continue wearing a tie.
There you go. And you having an open collar is going to neither help the team nor make your commentary any more incisive than it is, and it's already very incisive.
Well, I appreciate you saying that.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get some calls. We've got to give away our prize when we get back, and we will get some callers in before we turn it over to Rob Ellis. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP. And it is time for me to tell you that we all want someone to talk straight with us, especially the person we trust to service our car. And that's exactly what you get at all 12 locally owned and operated United Tire and Service locations. Now through January 29th, save $120 on Michelin's best all-season tire, the Cross Climate 2. Take it from me, you can trust you're getting back on the road safe. That's whether you need new tires or an oil change. United Tire has it all. Visit UnitedTire.com to schedule your next service and tell them Glenn sent you. Don't drive alone.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Drive United. All right, Ray, let's grab some calls before we give it to our pal Rob Ellis. Joe in Berwyn wants to talk about somebody he believes he goes to draft first rounder, right, Joe?
Yes, thanks, gentlemen. I'll make a few comments and then I'll listen to you guys. Number one on the draft, Ray, in today's Inquirer, page C11, I'm looking at it right now, there's a focus on Georgia. And there's a subcategory called straight A's. The Georgia linebacker, Nakobe Dean.
Yeah.
It is the most three paragraphs of impressive information. Dean is quoted about his academic balance with his playing time and how hard it is to balance those issues out. He has not gotten a grade of a B since he was in junior high school. And this gentleman speaks so maturely. Do we have any chance of grabbing a guy like this?
Boy, you put your finger on a guy that I love. I've been watching Georgia all year. Because I really love the way that team plays defense. And he, to me, I know Jordan Davis is a guy that's gotten a lot of publicity and won a lot of awards, but to me, the key to that defense is Nakobe Dean. I love him. I
Ray,
really do.
And you owe it to yourself. Catch that article today.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about his academic record. I just know what I've seen on tape. And boy, he's impressive. He has the one thing that you cannot coach, and that he has a tremendous instinct, and he has to use the old coach's term, he has a nose for the football. Mm-hmm. His play anticipation is so good. He never misses an assignment, never misses a tackle in the open field. I hate to make these comparisons, but there are times I'm watching him, I'm thinking, he reminds me of Ray Lewis. He's kind of the same size, that which is one of the reasons why I think he may hang on the board longer than he should, because he's under 6 feet tall, and there are a lot of the scouts and a lot of people say, oh, no, he's 5'11". I don't know.
Sam Mills, didn't it?
Sam Mills is probably going to go into Hall of Fame this year, and Sam Mills was 5'9".
Yep.
But I mean, Ray Lewis. That's the reason Ray Lewis hung around. Ray Lewis dropped to the bottom of the round.
Was
he was 5'11".
Sixth pick, I believe.
What's that?
I believe Ray Lewis was the 26th pick.
Yeah, I mean, he almost fell out of the first round, largely because there was nothing on the tape that scared you, but people put the tape measure on him and they said, oh, Jesus, this guy's 5'11". He can't play in the NFL. Well, I think he played pretty well. And N'Kobe Dean, and I'm not pleased. Some people are going to say you're comparing to Ray Lewis. I'm not really. I'm not trying to. But what I'm saying is he's going to get downgraded in the draft for the same reason that other guys got downgraded in the draft. But if he can play, he can play. And he's a guy that, given the Eagles' needs on defense, and they still have a lot of work to do on defense, boy, I do love this guy. Now, whether he's there for the Eagles or not, I don't know. But I don't think he's going to go – I don't think he's going to be top 10 because of the height factor.
Yeah. We'll know by the end of tonight what picks they get. It'll be three in the first round, at least for now.
Yep.
Julius in Coatesville, you're on with Glenn and Ray. Hey, Julius.
Hey, you guys. How are you doing? Happy holidays.
Same to you, Julius.
Hey, Ray, wear those ties, man. You're a legend, so wear them ties, man, no
matter
what.
Right. That's right.
All right, I'm going to tell the boss that Julius said it's okay.
Yes, Julius is correct.
I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'd rather see us play the Bucks, and I'm going to tell you why. If I just want Sirianni, I mean, he might as well just get the Peterson mentality and just not steer away from what we've been doing. Run the ball. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because if we play the Cardinals, I mean, you know, they got to run the quarterback. You see what I'm saying? And Singleton against – he's a great tackler. We know that. But, you know, he's not a good cover guy. He's not that fast. So I think with Brady, if we just bring the pressure, you know, once he gets under pressure, you know, he throws the ball away. You know how Brady gets. He's just not that good under pressure. If we brought the pressure – with Brady, ran the ball. I mean, I think the first place should be a free flicker.
I love it.
I like
Julius,
your thinking.
Good stuff.
I like the thinking. The only problem is this isn't a bringing the pressure defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they're like 28th in the league in sacks.
Yeah.
And you have a defensive coordinator that doesn't like to take chances.
No, doesn't.
You know, he likes to sit in that too deep, and that's Tom Brady will just, a guy like Tom Brady will just pick you apart. The way to beat Brady, and it has always been true, is pressure. You know, teams that have beaten Brady over the years are teams that have been able to put pressure on him, break down the timing of the passing game, move him off his spot, make him move, adjust, throw on the move. He, you know, that's when you can beat Brady. But if he can stand in the pocket and you don't bring pressure, you're going to have a long day.
Yeah, I want to see Arizona. I think the Eagles have a shot to beat Arizona. That's the one that I would.
I think they would absolutely have a shot against that team.
Yeah. Rick in Delaware is with us. Hi, Rick.
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
All right.
Hey, listen. I agree pretty much with all the callers about the defense last night. It was really very vanilla, and I think Jonathan Gannon's got to be more creative.
Last night, they're playing guys last night who aren't going to be on the team.
Yeah,
next week or in the future. So I take nothing out of last night. I take the fact that it was nice to see Kenny Gainwell play. Again, Dallas was playing its starters. So if the Eagles had guys
that they don't do the same thing next week, that's all.
He's not going to change the style, and he's not an aggressive coach, but the guys last night are not going to be on your screen next week.
I got two more quick things. The wide receivers, Rager and JJAW. Oh, my God. They're terrible. And I think you should keep Gardner Minshew next year for backup. I don't think you should get rid of him.
I agree. I mean, you don't have to get rid of him. You know, consensus now, Ray, is he played well. They're going to trade him. You know what? You need a good backup. They got him for a six, which is great. Figure, Ray, you maybe get a fourth for him?
In terms of a trade?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has value. Here's the thing. If somebody calls Howie up and says, we'll give you a three for him, he's gone.
Second-day pick.
If somebody offers you a second-day pick, you're not going to get a two. But let's say somebody calls you and says, we'll give you a three for him, he's gone. If you're talking about anything, it's a third-day pick from four on down, I think it's worth keeping him. I would.
He's on a very affordable salary. He's a good backup. He can play in this system. I know he made some waves after he beat the Jets of going in and saying, I think I should be the starter. Well, let's assume that's been rinsed from him.
Right.
And that at least for now he will be, you know, a backup with good team chemistry.
Right.
But, I'm all happy to keep him. And then, you know, the next game that Jalen Hurts starts out poorly, the fans are going to be calling for Minshew.
Yeah, that'll probably be true. but you just ignore it.
Yeah,
Hurts is your guy. I'm more convinced than ever that Hurts is the guy going into next year. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too, and I think I don't know he's the guy for the next 10 years. You see, Steve Mariucci did John Clark's podcast,
and he said he's your quarterback for the next 12 years.
Yes. So
I don't know why 12. I couldn't. You know, why not?
I think he said 10-12. Like, he's okay. Your quarterback for the next 10, 12 years. I think he was just kind of, basically saying
I know Mooch really likes him. He's made that point before.
Yeah. By the way, John Clark's podcast is always a good listen.
It's really good, yeah. John does a good job with that.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, I'm all happy with that. All right. So, Ray, what is your by the way, people are on hold, stick around. I'm going to steal a line from Angelo, which I always love. I hear reports. I'll do it as Angelo. I hear reports that Rob Ellis is also going to talk about the Eagles. Well, I love when he does that.
Yeah, well, trust me. Rob is here, and yes, he's more than ready to talk about the Eagles.
Right, so if you're
and,
on hold,
and Mike McCarthy.
Is he as mad as we were?
He's getting there.
Good. You know what? Rob Ellis hates the Cowboys.
Oh, every bit as much as you do, I think.
I know. And so I will look forward to listening to Rob, because I know it's going to get personal with him and Mike McCarthy. I anticipate that.
And Jerry Jones might sneak his way into the conversation,
that's
too.
That's a great one. All right, so we got to give away the prize, the best caller of the day. There were many. We had really good calls today, many about the Eagles and a few about the Flyers.
Yes.
And a guy who gave us a great rant all around was Dominic, I believe, correct? All right, so Kyle, Dominic wins. Oh, let me get the prize up here. He wins a $50 gift card to Scheib Vintage Sports, where there's a story in every stitch. You can check out their Kelly Green Eagles gear at their Center City location, or you can get it online at scheibsports.com. Congratulations to Dominic. I think he'll be able to get himself some nice Kelly Green Eagles gear with that.
I don't think he's going looking for a gritty shirt. Let's put it that way.
No. Broad Street Bullies, maybe.
Yeah, it could be.
Ray, what do you got going the rest of the day? Probably same as me.
You described it earlier. Just put my feet up, get myself a diet soda, pet the bulldog, and watch football.
You know what? That seems pretty good. You going to wear the tie?
No. I'm saving that for next weekend.
Okay. Great to spend time with you and our audience. Terrific calls today. Ray and I, listen, I know we say this sometimes, but we consider it a privilege to be able to do this because we really have fun and we really appreciate the people who listen and call, as well as Kyle Quinn, who did a tremendous job of producing today. We appreciate that. Stay tuned. Rob Ellis is going to come on with many Dallas Cowboys rants. You will enjoy that. Ray and I will see you next week right here on 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.